Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
Warming up, people. Springtime. Springtime's here. Actually, I have no idea if it's warming up in other parts of the country, but it's pretty warm in Southern California today. 73 outside right now. I'm going to check the old weather. Yeah, there you go. 78? Wow, that's the daily high. That's toasty, man. I'm not ready for that, but you may know that. Notice if you're watching that it's T-shirt Dan today, not hooded sweatshirt Dan. Hopefully, we've retired hoodie Dan for the foreseeable future. This is Tuesday's edition of Fantasy NBA Today. I'm your host, Dan Vespers, same as usual. This is a SportsEthos.com presentation, and we have nothing to recap, which guess we ought to get used to that, because starting on, well, I mean, okay, you know what? That's not fair, because I was going to say starting on Monday, we have nothing to recap, but actually starting on Monday, we have a whole frickin' season to recap. It's not really until, like, June that we run out of things to recap around here. Which is what I want to start the show with. A reminder to please all of you that have been listening at any point this season. If this show or I, Sports Ethos, my Twitter, whatever it is, if any of that has helped you this season, please subscribe to the podcast. Please take 20 seconds to drop a 5-star review on it. I also put a tweet out and you know what? Screw it. I'll throw it up on the screen. It is 100% self-serving. 100%. There's no sugarcoating that. It's like that's basically all that it is right now. But there is a point to it. This is the tweet that I'm talking about for folks that are watching live. I asked anybody that I had helped, and I guess doing this when everybody's kind of tuned out on Fantasy NBA wasn't the greatest timestamp for me, but it still got over 400 people replying to it, so that's kind of cool. If I've helped you, please go find this tweet. And please go like it. Not because I feel like I need you guys to tell me that I'm doing a good job. I actually don't care about that part. I'd like to continue to win, but it has nothing to do actually with knowing that with me feeling like I need you guys some sort of push. It's actually because, and you can see it in the message, I plan on DMing every single person that likes that tweet to ask a very small favor. As we head into this offseason and then rolling kind of towards the beginning of next year. I threw the link to the tweet up on the screen for those that are watching. I don't know how I would do it for you guys that are listening after the fact. I could try to put it in the show description, I guess. Maybe that's the way to go. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to do that right now while I'm talking to you. Here's the tweet I was talking about. That's what's going to go in the show description. There we go. Easy peasy. It's saved. It's going to go in there. No problemo. Please do drop a like on that, because I'm going to ask you guys a favor, and it's going to be a big one to help the podcast, so that's why. And it's a small favor. I've certainly asked you to do it already. You guys know what it's going to be, but this way I can kind of reach out, shake some hands, say hello to people one-on-one if you guys have questions or whatever. It's not going to be easy to keep up over 400 separate Twitter conversations, but I'm going to do my damn best. As far as today goes, and the reason that I feel comfortable kind of starting slowly on today's podcast is that we don't have that much stuff to talk about today. We have an upcoming card, a 14-gamer, where we will obviously look at some of these kind of replacement guys and who's been a big jump up over the last couple of games and what that means for tonight and, frankly, for the rest of this week. It's also worth mentioning here a little schedule thing. I know I did that show yesterday that was all about the week ahead, which is basically tomorrow and Thursday. Those are the only 2 days that matter this whole stinking week. You know, whatever. But this is how we carry ourselves to the end. This is how we get to the end of the line. I will also, of course, take a look at the chat room. Because, again, when we have these shows where there isn't a whole lot on the docket, we got a chance to do a couple other stuff. First thing I want to talk about is the schedule. Because I know we did a show separately on that yesterday. I don't know how many of you guys managed to watch that one. But if you didn't, the point of the schedule discussion was just to point out the fact that, first of all, today's 14 games, so you're overloaded. So that you should definitely not be using any moves today. You want to be utilizing for head-to-head. You want to just make sure that you get 10 active guys in your lineup. However, that requires you to juggle players in and out, depending on start times and stuff like that. Tomorrow, there are four teams, remember, Wednesday and Thursday, that don't play. The Pacers, the Lakers, the Sixers, and the Wizards. If you have any fringy players on those teams in a head-to-head format, Wednesday is when you abandon ship. Because after that point, you're on all overload days, meaning you might not get to use them anyway. You can also take a player that doesn't play on Thursday, does play on Wednesday, doesn't play on Thursday, and swap them out after Wednesday for a player that goes on Thursday, because everyone that plays Thursday, Friday, Sunday. That's kind of all you need to know about the schedule this week. Basically, you should be using all of your weekly moves on Wednesday and Thursday. Again, if you have any of those four teams, Pacers, Lakers, Sixers, Wizards, abandon ship on Wednesday. This is a head-to-head discussion, not a roto discussion, just for a moment here on the show. And then, let's say you have one guy there. You'll use a move on Wednesday. You'll use another move on Thursday. So that's two of your four weekly moves. And then if you have two guys, say, that go Wednesday but not Thursday, swap them out on Thursday for two guys that go Thursday, Friday, Sunday. Those are your four weekly moves. Bing, bang, boom. Each move you make should get you one additional game played this week. There's no way to do better than that. You're going to have to just take my word for that or go back and watch our second show from yesterday where I explained it in excruciating detail, and that's how you stream the final week. Honestly, the most important thing you do this final week is probably going to be watching your game time decision dudes today, Friday, and Sunday. Because if you tune out, like, I'm thinking about the schedule today, which we'll throw it up on the screen for everybody to see. You can see that there are three games that start at 4 Pacific time, two that start a half an hour after that, five that start a half an hour after that, which is kind of like your big initial wave. That's 10 of the 14 ball games go at either 4 or 4:30 or 5. Then you got an hour layoff to the Mountain Time game in Utah. And then you got another hour layoff to the three Pacific time games in Portland, Phoenix, and Los Angeles. What does that mean? Well, you know, you really have to be locked in for that first hour and 5 minutes, basically from 3:55 to 5 p.m. Pacific time. You want to be in front of your computer because if any of those guys get ruled out on your team, and that's going to be the bulk of your dudes playing tonight, go to your schedule if you don't believe me, unless you're the rare team, it's probably going to be like one out of every 15, 16 teams that has a bunch of guys going late. Most of your guys are going to go between 4 and 5 p.m. For instance, and this is a team that actually is, I would say, pretty heavily West Coast based. I have, looking at the team now, I have one Clipper, two Suns on this team, and a Blazer on a 15-player roster. So, like, I got four Pacific time dudes on that roster. And still, when I look at my guys, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of the 15 players that I can see, two of them are on the injured list, Kawhi being one of them. Those guys are going early. So, like, there's a possibility that I could fill up all 10 of my starting slots between 4 and 5 p.m. And frankly, there are arguments to be made to do that if the later guy isn't a bona fide superstar. Because, again, the worst thing that can happen to you today, Friday and Sunday on the head-to-head side is accidentally getting stuck, say, you know, if you're not watching and you play an early guy that's out, crap, you can't get him out of your lineup, or waiting on a later guy who gets ruled out later in the evening. You just don't want to take zeros. That's the big thing. So in addition to using each roster move this week to gain one game, so there's your four games, You could lose four games in a night if you're not paying attention to who gets ruled out at 3:55 and 4:25 and 4:55 specifically. And then, okay, fine, like, you know, you want to do a quick check-in on that Utah-Denver altitude game, but then you want to make sure you're sort of reporting back in at 6:50, 6:55, something like that, for the late one. And it's a pretty similar story. Let's see if we can get back over to Friday's schedule here. It's a pretty similar story on Friday, where you've got 15 games, and 11 of them go, well, there's that Detroit-Dallas game that goes at 5:30. 10 of those go between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific time, one a half an hour later, so if you can extend that window. And then you got sort of an even later chunk, because Sacramento, the Clippers, the Lakers don't have a home game that day, but if they did, they would also start at 7:30 instead of 7. So it's this same phenomenon. Sunday is different, because it's Sunday, and the games are broken up into the Eastern and Western Conference start times. All the Eastern Conference home games start at 10 a.m. Pacific time. All of the Western Conference ones start at 12:30 Pacific time, because they want to make sure that these teams can not really watch each other. They want them all to be as competitive as possible, and honestly, it's a good idea. So Tuesday, Friday in particular. Sunday is an easier one because you just set your watch for two different start times. Make sure your guys are healthy and in the lineup. Let's pivot back to Tuesday, because now the main part of today's discussion, if we can call it that, in addition to checking out the chat room, is talking about some of the players that have popped up over the last couple of days. So let's just go through the calendar of the games tonight, and we'll mention any players that I think have a really interesting shot at value. And I spilled water on my keyboard again. I don't know if I can do anything about it, because if I hit a button and accidentally turn off the broadcast, we're just going to have to let that water, you know what, we're going to tip the keyboard sideways right here on air. You guys can watch me dump out the water off my keyboard. We'll just hold that upright while I do the next part of the show. I know, a little bit struggling these days. Detroit, right out of the chute, is a great option. And you guys know I've been pushing Metu down your throats for a couple of weeks now. And he's really come into his own over the last 2 weeks. Over the last 2 weeks, Metu is a top 40 fantasy asset in 30 minutes of ballgame. He's averaging 11 points, 6 boards, almost 2 assists, 2.5 steals, 0.8 blocks on 53 and 100 splits with just 1.5 turnovers per game. And if you're like, Dan, that's not sustainable, I will say to you, you're absolutely right. But you know what? It doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be. Detroit has 4 games left this year. That's all you need from sustainability. You know, I don't need to go, I don't need everything to be local. I was going to make a sustainability joke, but I'm too busy trying to clean water out of my keyboard. I don't need Metu to be good for a month. I need him to be good for a week. Heaters last longer than that all the time. Jalen Green was hot for the entire month of March. Not so much here in the month of April, by the way. What about Metu over the last 7 days? Has he gotten better, gotten worse? Better! It's better! He's shooting 67% over the last 3 games. On 4 steals per ball game. Okay, yeah, obviously he's not going to keep that up. But he's been really good. And provided Detroit doesn't try to throw him at Joel Embiid, which is a possibility, but hopefully Jalen Duren and James Wiseman are both there to absorb a lot of those fouls, Metu should be playing power forward, dealing with the likes of Nick Batum or Tobias Harris if he's in there. Not a guy that's going to foul him out in half a ball game. We hope. So Metu, an awesome, awesome choice right out of the chute. Again, I don't think you can expect him to be a, you know, second or third round guy, but there really is nothing that says he can't post a second round line in this next ball game. Like, the last ball game was as good as it gets. He went 9 for 9 shooting, 20 points, 7 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, 2 3-pointers. He's been amazing. But the steals numbers all by themselves have really lifted him. And the fact that he's been in double-digit scoring in 2 of his last 4, the rebounds are up at 6 now and change instead of slightly lower than that. The minutes have been trending up. There's just a lot of stuff to like. Philly, nobody really that you could scoop up. Indiana, you guys know I've been pushing TJ McConnell for a while. He's in a steals rut right now, which is kind of weird because that's been, like, the thing for him. And yet, I still don't really care, because even with the Steelers completely abandoning him, he's still inside the top 25, or top 125, excuse me, over the last 2 weeks. He's still top 90 over the last 1 week, and that's with one steal over that week, because he's shooting 69% from the field, and he's averaging 15-7. Field goal percent will come down, steals will come up. He's just been chucking, sort of trucking along here for a month now. There's just a lot to like about it. We're one or two big steals games away from us looking at these numbers and seeing that this is crazy. I think that my camera may have glitched out. I don't know if that's actually the case, but we're going to keep talking. My computer did a weird reload thing while I was talking just a minute ago, and I think the camera may have chunked out. If you guys are watching and you have access to the chat room, please let me know if indeed the camera has gone on the fritz. I think it has, and I don't really know what to do about it. Technical difficulty day here on the broadcast, that's for darn sure. All right, let's get everything back up on the board where we were looking at before. Had to do a quick reset of the old web camera. So yeah, not a whole lot in Indy outside of the McConnell thing that we've been talking about for a while. Toronto is mostly the main dudes. I don't think you want to go too far beyond them, although we do know that they're going to be resting guys in the back-to-back. I believe we've already... Is it Quickly that's out on the front end of this back-to-back? Do a double-check on that so I make sure I'm giving you guys the right information. Yeah, Emmanuel Quickly is out on the front end of this back-to-back. RJ Barrett is in. Kelly Olynyk is in. There you go. All right, so those are your guys. I don't think you go really beyond that. And a good thing you can check out, too, is as you're looking back through some of the numbers, you can just go to these teams' most recent ballgame and take a quick peek and say, all right, did somebody deserve another look? And in Toronto's last ballgame, you can see very clearly that Quickly, Olynyk, and Gary Trent were the three guys that needed to be played. And so if Trent is in, then fire him up. You know, and Barrett is a points league guy. You're not going to go any farther than him. Ninecat, you're not using RJ Barrett anyway. It's not like you're going to play Abaji. You're not playing Bruce Brown. You're not playing Grady Dick, even if he plays. So that's where you're at with the Toronto Raptors. Dallas, nobody really. You know, you're going with the main dudes. Now, if Kyrie gets ruled out, you could probably throw Tim Hardaway Jr. at this. But you kind of have to wait and feel that one out. Charlotte's been a really interesting one lately. Grant Williams would be the guy that I would say is worthy of, frankly, all formats. Games cap, I'd throw him out there. Head-to-head, I'd throw him out there. Over the last week, since he's basically become the center, and Nick Richards was back in the last ball game and still came off the bench, Grant Williams is shooting 52% from the field, 86% at the free throw line, 2 threes, 14, 5, and 8 assists over this stretch. 0.7 steals, 0.7 blocks. That's never really going to be the thing for Grant Williams. You just kind of hope that if he plays enough minutes, he'll find his way to a steal. But getting threes on a high percentage with rebounds and assists, it's really hard to turn down. So I like Grant Williams a lot for Charlotte right now. Trey Mann, Vasilije Micic, those guys are probably outside on the Roto Games cap form of things, but they each have their kind of head-to-head targets, and that's basically as far as you go on the streamers there. Boston is a team where we should be watching for possible rule-outs. We know they're going to be trying to get everybody rest here. And my hope was that by the time we did this show that there'd be a little bit more injury news today, but there hasn't been outside of the Thunder, really. That's been kind of the news of the day, and we'll get to them a little bit later on. So Boston, keep an eye on the situation, like if Al Horford gets an opportunity or if a backcourt player is down, you can go roll with Peyton Pritchard. Milwaukee, nobody. Miami, nobody. They've got their main dudes back. Atlanta, nobody. Washington is interesting. If Kuzma's out, you're going Corey Kispert. I'm still not quite comfortable going beyond Kispert with the Wizards. And we kind of just left the window up on that Washington-Toronto game since we were just talking about Toronto. Tristan Vukcevic, is questionable with knee soreness, so we don't even know if he's going to be in there. Rashawn Holmes has been questionable for 2 weeks. He could reappear. Patrick Baldwin had a good ball game last time out, but that hasn't been consistent. Jared Butler was bad last time out, but he was good the one before that. Honestly, I just need another guy out for Washington. I would love it if we could get Rashawn Holmes back in the mix. I would love it Well, Denny Avdia is obviously a start, and Jordan Poole's a start if he's playing, and Kispert's a start if Kuzma's out. If Poole sits, I think Jared Butler would be really interesting, but we haven't really seen any information to suggest that Poole is going to sit, so I don't know why I get so caught up on it. I just want to see Jared Butler. Minnesota, Naz Reid has been rolling for a while. I don't know that you're going... I don't think you're going Kyle Anderson outside of, you know, category hunting. Knicks have Ananobi back, so that knocks out the Deuce McBride stream, so you're back to kind of like the main dudes there. Chicago, if anybody's out, Andre Drummond is the play. We'll see what the deal is with Alex Caruso. Haven't gotten a specific update on him just yet. But, you know, Drummond would be a rebound stream even if they're healthy. The nice thing there is that if somebody's out, then he becomes just sort of like a generalized play. Spurs are a fun one because you've got Julian Champagny, who's been very good lately and kind of, frankly, built in the same fantasy structure as Metu, who we just talked about, but hasn't done quite as much of that stuff. But Champagny, over the last week, he's number 42 in 9-cat, 48 from the field, 78 from the free throw line. So Metu's percentage has been better over that stretch, but Champagny's been beating him in blocks and three-pointers. Still, when you compare the stat lines of these two guys, they're remarkably similar over that stretch in that they tend to be decent at percentages, maybe not, you know, world beaters, fluctuating between not hurting you all that much and helping a little bit. Champagne's going to win the three-pointers game. They're going to be very similar in points, boards, and assists. Metu has been ahead in steals. Champagne's been ahead in blocks. But, like, these are guys that fill in a lot of gaps in lineups. For Roto, you're getting big-time wins in the defensive stats. You're getting guys that can give you league average to I mean, for Champagne, he's basically been almost right on league average in points, boards, and assists. And then pretty close to league average in field goal percent, ever so slightly below it in free throw, and ever so slightly above it in three, and then a winner in steals, blocks, and turnovers. That's, like we've talked about, if you're league average in everything, you're like a 70-75 range guy, and the fact that he's above it in, you know, four categories and only below it slightly, basically in one, yeah, I mean, that's a guy who's better than 75. And I know people are like, Dan, what if I, you know, what if I'm category hunting? Does he really help me all that much? The answer is, well, it depends on what category you're hunting. Yeah, you're going to find somebody out there who can probably get you more than three assists a ball game, but you're not going to find many dudes out there that can get you three assists per game or more than three assists per game that aren't hurting in a couple of things. That's why the math works out. And there's been so much discussion this year, again, about what does a rank even really mean? The rank is telling you, okay, how does the math work out? Is the good better than the bad for this guy? And if the good is better than the bad, they're sort of top 75 or higher. And then there's this window of guys where the good and the bad kind of cancel each other out, and that's like 75 to 125. And then you get into guys where the bad kind of outweighs the good. This time of year, sometimes you can play a bad outweighs the good guy if you badly need the one category they're good at or two categories they're good at, and the ones they're bad at don't really hurt you. But that's only because the last 2 to 3 weeks of the season, you can create such a laser-focused hyper-punt, which is like, I'm punting six categories right now, you know? Which doesn't mean that you're only trying to win three, but in Roto or in head-to-head, sometimes that's the way you can play it. You could say, look, I'm so far ahead in two categories that I can effectively punt those on whatever my roster moves are. It's not a team punt. It's a moves punt. Does that make more sense? It's like at the beginning of the season, you could punt one category in Roto and maybe get away with it. Better to not to, but you could. Head-to-head, you could punt two, sometimes even three, and get away with it. And at the end of the year, the guys you pick up, the players you stream, you could punt five, six things because the rest of your team, and this is easier to visualize, I think, on the Roto side, but you can visualize it for both if we really sort of extend our free our minds, as Quato taught us in Total Recall. So take a Roto example. You know, I'll just go across the board. Say in field goal, free throw percent in threes, you're so far out in front of the teams behind you. You don't even have to be in first place. you just created like a buffer window where if you did a lot in those categories, you still wouldn't catch anybody. And if you did almost nothing in those categories, nobody would catch you. They basically don't exist. You're going to get 9 field goal percent points and 6 free throw percent points and 11 three-pointer points, whatever it is. And you're just not going to move the last week of the season. No matter what you do, you're not going to move. Effectively, that means that for the next 6 days, you can just punt that category. Or all three of them. Okay. And then you look at some of the other ones and you're like, all right, well, you know, these two are ones where I can gain some ground if I hyper-focus on them. And all of a sudden now you have 5 categories. I guess you have 6. No, sorry. Let me do the math here. All right, so you have 3 where it doesn't matter, 2 that you're attacking, 4 more that are sort of, you're competing. So that's 6, effectively, that are still relevant, but 2 that are more so. So what you want to do in a situation like that is figure out how important those 4 other ones are. But that's why a guy like Champagne makes a lot of sense, because he's decent in a lot of this stuff. You don't have to worry about him hurting you. What happens if you get hurt in those other categories? Now it becomes this ROI play. Okay, so I want to gain ground in points and rebounds. Those are the ones that I really want to focus on, but I want to make sure that I don't lose any ground in assists and steals, and I have some wiggle room in blocks and turnovers or something like that. So you're out there and you're just hunting for a player who's very good in 2 things and not awful in 2 things, and then you don't care about the other 5. And so you've effectively now made a roster move with a 5-category punt. That's what you can get away with at this time of year. I don't know why I ended up talking about this when we were on a Julian Champagne kick, but basically just like where math no longer matters is where we're at right now. So a guy ranked 170th might actually make sense for your team. But if you can find a guy ranked 45th, in all likelihood, he's probably going to be more useful for your club. Like, you know, 99 times out of 100. Except for the very rare occurrence where you're like, nope, I don't need anything that he's even decent at. I only need the categories he's terrible at, so, or not great at. So for Champagne, it's like, if you were a laser focused on free throw percent, then obviously, yes, that's not. Anyway. Memphis, this is the game where I want to see who plays, because I think we're probably going to see the same Grizzlies lineup the rest of the way. And in the last one, we saw them put together, you know, we got like 6 new faces out there, but it's a little bit, in my eyes, kind of nerve-wracking to say, yes, we need to immediately go use those dudes. Because number one, they're probably going to get blown out by most of the teams they play. But number two, like, some of these guys are not even on a regular contract. Xavier Simpson just signed another 10-day. Pereira, his 10-day expired. So I have no idea who's going to play for the Grizzlies. I would assume that Brandon Clark is going to get 20 to 25 minutes somewhere in that neck of the woods, so he's probably playable. Trey Jameson, I think there's better guys out there if you're looking for points and boards. G.G. Jackson is an example of a player we just described, which is like, do I just want points? Okay. Is he going to be good enough in the other stuff? Probably not. The guys that I would want to play in Memphis would be Jordan Goodwin and Scottie Pippen Jr. Those are the guys that I'm looking at for the game tonight. Again, I don't know that I'm playing any of these dudes other than maybe Brandon Clark, because I really want to get a feel for what they're going to be. Now, if I think this ball game tonight is going to give us a whole lot of information on the Grizzlies, and I think we're going to get to use that as this week kind of muddles along, especially because they play again tomorrow. So for the head-to-headers, that makes a lot of sense, because you could get a boring or a quiet game day out of Memphis. But I would say let's not overextend ourselves yet. Orlando, I don't care. Houston, nothing really there. Sacramento, you know, whether or not you want to play Keon Ellis for a few boards, a few assists, and a good shot at defensive stats, okay. Thunder, they've got some news this morning, and the news is that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is off the injury replacement, or the injury list. Huzzah. Jalen Williams was also a participant in shoot-around, so it's possible that the Thunder get both of their studs back. Great. That means we don't have to worry about the fringy guys. We don't have to worry about Lou Dort. We don't have to worry about Josh Giddey if those guys all come back, go back to playing the usual dudes. Denver, no. Utah, ugh, man, Utah is so rough right now. Colin Sexton is a Jazz you can play. And that might be it. Keontae George has been so bad from an efficiency standpoint, he hasn't been playable. Taylor Hendricks has not shown a consistent fantasy game yet, so he's not playable. Omer Yurtseven was the one that I thought might be playable, but he only got 19 minutes in their last ball game and kind of got played off the floor. But he would probably give you field goal percent and rebounds at the very least. And then you're kind of watching Johnny Juzang, who had 27 points on 7 threes, but he didn't really do anything else. Bryce Sensabaugh, mostly a scorer also. There just hasn't been a guy that's popped up on Utah yet where I've been like, ooh, that guy can do a few things. Most of these guys do, like, one thing. And that's why I've been watching Yurt's event, because at least if he gets 25 minutes, he could probably do two or three things. But I would watch the Utah game. I don't think I want to take the plunge there. Pelicans, nah. Portland, I think we have a pretty good idea. Lately, it's DeAndre Ayton and Delano Banton as the only two guys that have been consistently playable for Portland. Banton, just because he's getting enough usage where it overwhelms the efficiency stuff. Keep an eye on Jabari Walker. He's a rebounds stream right now. Scoot Henderson is an assist stream, but both those guys have these big gaps in their fantasy game that they haven't really shown signs of overcoming this season, but they're more specialist-y than anything else. Clippers, nobody's replacing Kawhi Leonard these days. Phoenix has their starters. Warriors, I would assume that Steph is back. I don't know about Andrew Wiggins, but I'm not taking the plunge on any fringy guys there. And then the Lakers, likely to have their main dudes back, which means, is Rui playable? Maybe. Yeah, probably. And that's okay. So that's your card for tonight. You guys probably were able to put the pieces together on which of those dudes I like the most. But Metu in Detroit is one I like the most. And these are the low rostership guys. Obviously, there's dudes in between that I kind of like as well. Deep league, you'd go Marcus Sasser, by the way. I didn't mention him before because he's not very good, but deeper leagues, you'd go that way. Toronto, you're just going with the main dudes, so Olynyk, Trent. Points league, you go Barrett. Charlotte, that's a fun one. I like the Grant Williams stream right now. Boston, if you've got a fill-in, that would be a good spot to deploy it. Washington, keep an eye on things, but Kispert with Kuzma out is worth the play. Drummond could be a fun one in Chicago. Champagne in San Antonio. Oh, Dan, you didn't talk about Malachi Branham is what you probably should have said. Yeah, he's really just a points league guy for me, or if you're stat hunting scoring, basically. Grizzlies, I really want the data from this ball game. Utah, I'm still waiting. Portland, maybe somebody emerges, and that's kind of the spots where we're at for tonight. Tomorrow, we will do our best to recap a 14-game card, so buckle up for that one. Quick check of the chat room here, since we're about half an hour in, and that means I've got, you know, 5 to 10 minutes to spare. I need to bench one today. Any thoughts? Brook Lopez versus Boston, Wendell Carter Jr. versus Houston, TJ McConnell versus Toronto, Kelly Olynyk versus the Pacers, or Trey Jones versus the Grizzlies? Who are you benching? Well, I mean, you've got some pretty different categories you're looking for. Like, if you need blocks, you can't bench Brook Lopez, but if you don't, then he would be a pretty easy decision, as I would think, the guy to bench. If you don't need boards, you could probably bench Wendell Carter Jr. If you don't need assists, you could probably bench McConnell or Trey Jones. I don't think there's any way I'm benching Olynyk, because he's been too good at too many things at this point. To me, it really just comes down to what stats you need. If you're just looking for, like, who's probably going to have the worst game of this bunch, it's probably either Wendell Carter Jr. or TJ McConnell. But, like, what they do is so different. It's so different. Hey, Dan, I ended up second in my league over the weekend. Thanks for the content all season. I've been here since early on, switched from Josh to you. Appreciate your grind this season. You're welcome, bud. Happy to have you aboard. Should I bench Herb Jones to activate SGA off the IR? I mean, is Herb really your worst guy? Obviously, you need to get Shea back in there, so do something. But it'd be a shame if Herb was your worst. Do you think Kawhi comes back, or is it safe to drop him? I mean, you got to hold. gotta hold. He's IL eligible, and even if he comes back for part of the week, James Harden, by the way, didn't participate in the Clippers shoot-around either. Maybe they're being coy, and maybe he's badly hurt, and maybe this is like end of the line for Kawhi, but I can't advocate dropping a top five player. It's five games in a row, though. Oof. So today's the front end of a back-to-back. Hopefully we'll have more on Kawhi tomorrow. He was almost definitely not going to play in this back-to-back anyway, with the playoffs approaching. He played in a bunch earlier this season, but there was sort of no reason to do it now. I think if he gets ruled out tomorrow, then I would probably be okay with the drop, but I don't think I would do it today because it's an overload day anyway. Like, you don't need to pick someone up today. Stream which guys for the next 2 days? Nick Richards, Trey Jameson, Malachi Branham, Need Reeves and threes. Boards and threes, huh? I'm not sure any of those guys give you that right combination of things. Malachi Branham is your safest bet at threes, at the very least. Now, I don't know that either of the other two guys is all that safe a bet on boards. So it's probably Branham. Jameson would be my second choice. Super low game cap this week with the two off days. Sit or play Denny Avdia today with a tough matchup. I need boards, and while I'm trying to maintain turnovers and field goal percent. Well, he's probably going to hurt you in turnovers and maybe hurt you in field goal percent, but he's going to probably have a pretty big game because the Wizards just, like, they don't have anybody left these days. Fiddlesticks. I'm not good with the DFS calls. This is basically a DFS call. I think I play him and assume the Wolves don't take this game that seriously. The only way I can lose is if my opponent sits all their players on the last day and I start mine, but if I don't start mine, I will probably lose. How do you navigate that? What? I presume that means that you lose if you lose turnovers and the percentages. I mean, couldn't you just start some of your guys on the last day, the ones that are good at percentages and maybe aren't going to have a ton of turnovers? It's an impossible question. Tosan. I had Tosan for the quality games the guy was rolling, and now he has a G League assignment. Do I think he plays tomorrow? They don't play tomorrow, do they? Oh, plays Thursday. Sorry. I read the question wrong. Do I think he plays Thursday? Yeah, I do. But I don't know why you added someone that plays Thursday today, Tiago. You really needed to wait on that. Don't ever add a guy super early on the last week of the season. Ever. In fact, no one should have been making any moves today at all. Unless you have less than 10 guys going, but there's like no reason that should be. What about Javonte Green on the Bulls? I have no trust there at all, especially if Caruso plays. So I wait and see if Caruso gets ruled out. If he gets ruled out, you could maybe go Javonte. He's not going to be as hot as he was in his last two ball games. I don't have full trust there. Huge fan, Dan. Thanks, Patrick. Definitely going to stick around for the offseason. And you all should. Can't wait to see what you're going to have for us. So, I'll be honest with you guys. Some of the shows are going to be really good in the offseason, and some of the shows are going to be stupid. But you know what? That's what it takes. There's like 100 shows-ish, I think, in the offseason. We're going to have a lot of really interesting ones. We're going to break out on all 30 teams. Those will be fun ones. We're going to have some really good shows where we talk about the Dan Vespers Old Man Squad in review. We'll talk about the Yahoo board in review. Then we'll have these sweet free agency shows. And then we're going to have this stretch in like mid-July where we have nothing to talk about. I'll be totally honest with you guys. If I wasn't so intent on doing a show every single day, I would just take 2 weeks off in the middle of July and come back for, you know, Vegas Summer League or whatever the hell is coming after that. But yeah, it's going to be a fun offseason. I really appreciate you guys that are subscribed and hanging out with us today. Hey, Dan, love your vids. Thanks, Jordan. I appreciate that. Should I play Caruso, OG Anunoby, D'Lo, or Reeves today? I need boards, blocks, and field goal percent. I'm thinking D'Lo. D'Lo is not going to get you boards or blocks or field goal percent, so probably not the guy for the categories you're hunting for. Alex Caruso is the guy that would probably get you blocks and field goal percent of the names you listed if he's healthy enough to go. If he's not, you could go for boards and blocks, and the second choice there would be OG, probably. Reeves is in a deep, deep shooting slump, and he doesn't block shots anyway, so I don't know that he gets maybe some rebounds because the Lakers have been doing a better job of gang rebounding lately, but I don't think you go the Lakers for the categories you're hunting for. My favorite, again, would be Caruso if he's playing. If he's not, I think I'd probably go Anunoby and pray that he's healthy enough to make it through the ballgame. Ryan says, managed to win it all with Lillard and Mikal Bridges as my top two picks. Thanks for the content. You know what? That's the thing. So Mikal Bridges is going to get, and rightfully so, blasted for his terrible per game production this season. He's number 87 per game right now, but he has played in 79 ball games, which, like, okay, does that artificially inflate his value? Absolutely. But is it important to actually have a guy that plays in every ballgame? Hugely important, especially this time of year. Even a bad line is better than no line. And so that's why Bridges is top 50 by totals. And yes, obviously, if you drafted him at like 25, you're going to be really annoyed that he's 50th by totals and 80-something per game. That's bad. That's not a good year. But he didn't hurt you as much as some of the guys drafted near the top that just missed a ton of ball games. Like, Joel Embiid is ranked 52nd. He's right next to Mikal Bridges in overall ranking, but Embiid missed your whole fantasy playoffs, most likely, unless you finished up at the very end of this last week. Roto, it's kind of a different discussion. You want the guy putting up the big, 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 big individual lines, but for head-to-head, if you have guys that are just out there on the court, you can win, even if they're underperforming per game. Dame is number 14 by totals. He's been relatively healthy this year. Not Mikal Bridges healthy, but like Damian Lillard, number 22. If you drafted him, I still thought he should have been going like closer to 14, so I still would have taken him too high, but he started going at like 9 because everybody had convinced themselves that he was going to be totally fine next to Giannis. No, he was never going to have as much usage there in Milwaukee as he had in Portland. But number 22 and playing almost all the time doesn't kill your team. That's the key. You just don't want to lose in your first couple picks. You know who lost you a league? LaMelo Ball. If you drafted LaMelo Ball in the first round, you basically had no shot to win your league. Most of the other guys drafted in the first round, you had a shot. Even Dame, who was sort of the underperformer of that bunch. Second round, most of those guys were healthy enough where you were competitive. Even Jaren Jackson, also a victim of a down year. By the way, managed to kind of pull it together here towards the end. He got up to number 50 per game, and he's right around that same mark by totals. Everybody we're talking about right now is right around 50th. Per game totals. JJJ is 55, so he's like right behind the guys we were talking about. Yeah, even he was sort of able to hang in there by a little bit. You know who crushed you in the third round? Cade. Desmond Bane. By the way, the Bane thing is super annoying. Darius Garland was really beat up this year. The guys that kill you in those first few rounds aren't always the ones that have super down years. It's usually the ones that miss half a season. You can come back from a guy underperforming if they're healthy. It's really hard to come back, especially in head-to-head, from a guy who's just not there. All right, 45 minutes is enough. I think we can all agree. Thanks for watching, everybody. A nice chunk of you guys over on social tuning in for this one. At Dan Bespris, by the way, if you any of the rest of you would like to find me on Twitter. This is Fantasy NBA Today, a Sports Ethos presentation. Please, please, please subscribe. We want you with us for the offseason. That's a big, 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 big deal right now. And of course, if you have a minute, please go find that tweet I was talking about and like it because I'll be reaching out to everybody individually on those. And again, because most of you guys right now that are watching live are watching on Twitter, shouldn't be that hard for you guys to find. Just scroll back. I haven't been tweeting all that much the last like 5 or 6 days, giving the old fingers a breather. And then for those that are listening after the fact, I'm going to put it in the show description. You guys can find it there. That way I know that I can come bug you. All right. Have a great whatever the hell day it is. It's Tuesday. Tomorrow we'll recap the big old Tuesday card. Again, one show every weekday from now until the end of time. We'll ramp it back up to two shows when we get closer to fantasy draft season. Aww. That's like 5 months from now. That's too far. I'll see you soon.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.